Hello there, everybody. It's me, Gary Kidney, the co-host of You've Got to Be Kidding Me on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network.
And I am Liam Jones, my full name, and I am also a part of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network as a co-host for You've Got to Be Kidding Me.
We are a TNA history podcast that covers TNA 1 month at a time. We cover all the drama, all the matches, all the Vince Russo nonsense you could ever want in your life.
Have you heard of TNA? I bet you have, but would it be funnier if two people made jokes over it the whole time? Probably.
So if that sounds like fun to you, check it out on this very Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network, and Liam will do bits and whatnot.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Here we go!
Listening to the Emerald Flow Show on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
Welcome to episode 79 of the Emerald Flow Show. We're a podcast on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. You can follow us on X at Emerald Flow Show, and we're also on Blue Sky under that name, and you should be able to find us. We're available on all of your favorite podcast apps. There's a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. You can go to voicesofwrestling.com/donate to donate to the show if you're feeling generous. I'm Gerard, back here with Paul. And Paul, it has been an interesting couple of weeks since we were last on the show, I would say.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised by the amount of news we have. And yeah, very few actually related to the two promotions we normally cover. Like, there was some stuff there, but like, I think all of the news that we have aren't, like, maybe like indirectly related to the two main promotions.
Yeah. So we'll start with one company that we said we'd never talk about again. But I think we would just have to touch on this. So over in Great, Strong Hearts has announced his breakup. That's been a week now. I think a lot of people have commented on that. But, you know, lots of speculation that Shima is going to be hanging up the boots soon, basically. I think that's fair to say.
And which he should. With, like, he looks bad.
Yeah. They didn't even go out with a unit disband match or anything like that.
Nope, they went down the All Japan route and just kind of like quietly, just dissolved the faction, basically.
Yes, yeah, so that is the All Japan route. Oh, and of course, Soma Watanabe's reign did not last.
Yeah, like it lasted a week. Like, it's like less than a week, I think, actually. It was like 5 days. Yeah, baffling. Like that promotion, right, so at the end of the year, I'm going to Japan again. And last time I went to the, like, Tokyo Dome City Hall show there that they have on, like, the 30th, I think, of December, generally. I think there's a decent chance that there won't be, like, Great won't be a promotion when I go. Like, I think there is a chance they don't make it to the end of the year.
I mean, they seem to be like in some, okay, well, connected to this, we should also say that Hayato Tamura has taken an indefinite.
Yeah, like that's the other thing, right? Like, because now they're losing all of their like wrestlers as well, which generally is a bad sign.
Now that follows up on, Izuka. I was like trying to think.
Yeah,
who.
Izuka, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, he was really banged up, and it's not surprising given his style and some of the stuff he's gone through. But I didn't think Tamura was hurt again. I don't know. He was. So it's just sort of like, I mean, this is all bleeding apart and everything like that. I mean, they're sort of like still going forward. They got dates announced and everything like that, I think, but I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, again, in Japan, like, you book those like really far in advance as well. So this could literally be like, we've already spent the money on buildings, right?
Yeah.
So.
Oh, they had their match. I totally missed this because I'm not paying attention. 4 days ago, Nakajima beat Minoru Tanaka in the Ledet UWF title match. It got a 1 rating on Cage Match that gave it an 8.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably good. Like, those two are really good wrestlers. So that's the thing.
Of course. Two of my favorite all-time wrestlers, in fact.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But again, literally couldn't pay you to watch it.
It's not like I can't even afford it or something. I just simply
can't
spend money on it.
No, same. Like, I'm like, no, I'm not going to give you money. Like, you definitely have not earned that.
And then, the G-Rush tournament, right? And I totally missed that. And, of course, they have, which is like the cruiserweight slash, I don't know, does it have a weight limit on it? Because all the guys in the tournament were small, though.
Probably, I mean, might be that, like, I mean, it's basically their Bravegate, I think. It's the best. Because I think saying it's a cruiserweight for, like, what is functionally a Dragon System promotion feels kind of weird. So I think it's more like it's the Bravegate, like, for the even small, not for the small guys, but for the even smaller guys.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, Gerard, I think I have something that might get you to watch. Great.
What?
They booked Zones.
Oh, they did. When?
They did on the show on the 21st, for where they had like the first round of the G-Rush tournament. She was in a 8-man tag, just teaming with Black Generation International.
That's funny. I gotta see this latest Evolution show, because they did debut a new wrestler that immediately piqued my interest, given that she is a former judoka. Ooh. And it's very powerful, basically. So I need to check that out, actually. I gotta say, from what I have seen so far, Suwama's doing a good job with his, I guess, upgraded Evolution, to be completely honest with you. So that's a good sign.
Yeah. They've booked Suwama versus Takuya, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's his passion project, so he's probably putting more effort into that than his Voodoo Murders 2.0 run.
That's not hard.
Okay, so moving on from great, we go to everyone's favorite, Kuroshio Tokyo Japan, has a promotion. I don't know, Paul, do you see anything from that show that he just did? Because I did not.
No, I've only seen pictures, and like that he like wrestled a bear in a cage match and everything.
Yes, not a real bear.
No.
But he's announced that he's doing his own promotion called Uptown. They got a bunch of dates, I think, in Face and Kiba as well. And the two wrestlers announced for it are Jiro and Seko Tachibana. Now, Jiro is only one of the upcoming All Japan shows, and Seko is on most of them, but not all. So I don't really know how much this is going to affect the Japan booking, but it might. But as long as Seko stays around, that's fine.
That's the thing, yeah. Like, Seko is definitely somebody that I really hope he, like, sticks around and everything, because that would definitely be a big loss.
Yeah, for sure. And then on January 25th, I didn't watch anything else on the show, but we had in Big Japan Daisuke Sakamoto versus Jeff Cobb, and I mean, it rocked. I mean, what did you sort of think about it and everything? Like, I mean, it was what you thought it was going to be. They just immediately start running in and slapping each other. Power moves. I mean, this might be Sakamoto's best singles match. And well, I'm not really watching a lot of Big Japan, but I don't recall. It's been a couple of years, maybe only 2 months, I've seen like a Sakamoto. This is awesome and everything like that. But that was definitely it. And you should go and track that down. Paul, what do you think if you saw it?
I thought it was awesome. It definitely was like Sakamoto kind of like turning back the clock, essentially. Just. Mm-hmm. It really felt like a classic, like, because Sakamoto, like, he can still have good matches, but you kind of feel like that he's like slowed down, whereas here it was very noticeable that he tried to like just wrestle like he did like 5 years ago. So like, yeah, I thought just like two big dudes just beating the like shit out of each other. And you also had like, I mean, Sakamoto like one spots like literally like lawn darted himself into a cop. Like, just really good stuff. I actually watched the entire show.
Oh,
yeah. I actually, because we were just talking about like giving promotions money, I actually signed up to the like YouTube like gimmick that they have.
And that's what that show aired on, right?
Yes, exactly. That's where it aired on. What I will say, production values were kind of weird. Because I don't know if there was something up with like the hard cam and Corican that day, because they kind of filmed it. They filmed the whole show from this weird angle from one of the balconies, rather than like, I mean, obviously, like, I don't think Big Japan has any money anymore for like ringside cameras and all of that, but.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 That camera angle.
But at least, like, I don't know. I think they would, like, I think Corican just has a hard cam that everybody uses. I don't think they bring like their own equipment. I don't know for sure, though. But even still, like, it was weird that it was filmed from that weird angle the entire time.
Yeah.
As for the other matches, I don't think there was really all that much like worth watching on the show. I think maybe the only other match I think should kind of go and watch is Takuya Nomura versus Kazumasa Yoshida. Mm. I think that was a nice little match. Like, not as good as like the main event, but it's definitely a nice little match. The rest of it, yeah, can kind of skip. The concrete block death match had some nice spots, but overall was pretty forgettable match. And what really bothered me is like, I think what makes it really hard to watch Big Japan these days is just like the crowd size, like 550 people in Korakuen for something like, and this is like way above what they normally draw. It's just not great. And it just kind of looks sad on camera.
Also, since that show, I think Big Japan is their first rookie that debuted in like
yeah,
4 years. And now I haven't seen anything, but I'm just looking at this picture that was posted by Metal Noah on Twitter or X. And his name is Koshiro Asakura. He appears to be a big boy because he also put Daisuke Sakamoto in the Argentine backbreaker in his debut match. So that's sort of what Big Japan needs.
Yes, no, absolutely. Like, who knows if there's any way this promotion can be turned around at this point, because it might be too far gone. But hey, I mean, that's at least some positive sign, right? Like, that they can debut a rookie. Like, at least there seems to be, like, there's some money there to, like, train somebody up. So, who knows? We'll see. It would be, like, I love the idea of Big Japan. I just would hate to see it go.
Yes, absolutely. It knows how to survive. Great's going to go out of business before Big
Japan. Oh, no, absolutely. Yeah.
I would be shocked if that source of that. So next topic, new venue in Tokyo, Tokyo Square in Itabashi. Paul, what's the deal with this? I saw some pictures, but that's about it.
Yeah, basically it's a brand new venue that just opened. I think they had the first show there yesterday, which was from Dai, the deathmatch innovative element. I haven't seen, like, I don't think that show made tape as far as I know, but basically, like, I think they, because I've seen kind of a few like indie promotions kind of throw this around for a while now that they were going to open this venue. I think it's actually co-owned by like a bunch of like indie promotions, if I remember correctly. It's out in Itabashi, which isn't exactly the most central part of Tokyo. I actually looked it up. Basically, to get there from, like, let's say, like Korakuen Hall, which is like right in the city center, it takes you about like an hour and 20 minutes to get there. And I think crucially, the biggest problem is that it's like a 15-minute walk from the nearest station. Because, for example, something like Shinkiba is also not exactly very central, but at least like it's right next to a train station. So like you don't have to walk that far. Whereas for this one, you actually have to walk for quite a bit to actually get to the venue. But I mean, it looks nice and cozy, I think is the best way of phrasing it.
Do we have an attendance?
I think I saw some people guess that you could fit like 200 something people in there, like 250 maybe.
That's less than first ring though.
It is less than first ring, yeah. So, but it's also newer. So, because first ring like has been around for a while, and it has a really cool atmosphere, but you also see that it's quite old at this point. So, yeah, who knows? Maybe it's even cheaper. We'll see. I'll definitely try and go there when I'm over in Japan. But definitely one of those things where I'm like, yeah, I'll definitely go there if there's a show worth watching there. It's not. I don't feel like it would be something where I would go out of my way to go all the way out there, because that's like a significant time commitment, because like it takes like an hour to get back into the city center as well. So it's like 2 hours of travel at the very least if you're in the city center. So yeah, this isn't like Kurikan or like Shinjuku phase, where like Shinjuku phase is literally in the center of Shinjuku. So like you just walk out of the building and you can just go walk straight across the street into a bar. So this isn't that.
So now we go start off with Noah here. We go all the way back to January 11th at Tokyo Kurikan Hall in front of 1,505 fans. Super no vacancy full house. We had Shuji Kondo, Amasuka, and Juta Miyawaki defeating Hayata, Yohei, Tadasuke, and Yuto Kikuchi in 759. The La Magistral from Ada on Hayata, which was, I thought, interesting booking leading into their match, and I think gave maybe some people a little scare.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there was another stat that I only learned after that specific match, but yeah, we'll talk about it then. That probably would have made me even more anxious if I had known it beforehand.
Yeah, so, you know, that was a perfectly quick, solid match. Then we go to Uka Sasaki and Zozaya defeating Muhammad Yone and Black Munster at the backdrop hold from Sasaki on to Menso Ray. I like the Zozaya and Sasaki team, actually. I think they complement each other well.
No, definitely. Like, I was actually like, yeah, they should put them, like, they should definitely put these two together, because I feel like now that the, like, that the Nakamura match is done, like, Sasaki feels pretty directionless.
Yeah, so, for sure.
You know, it's definitely worse things to do with him.
Yeah. And that was, you know, again, you know, not much to it, but solid. And then Go Shiozaki, Kazuyuki Fujita, Atsushi Katoge, and Hajime Ohara, sort of the Limit Break team. Defeat Naomichi Marafuji, Takashi Sugira, Masa Kitamiya, and Deki Odashima with a strong arm go on lariat from Shiozaki on Odashima. If you loved the Kazuyuki Fujita versus Odashima exchanges, you will enjoy the closing stretch of this match with Go Odashima, I thought.
Oh yeah, Go does beat the shit out of him. Fun match as well. But one thing that I kind of like picked up on immediately was that Go was like bowing to the crowd as he was like leaving, and I was like, oh, is there something up? And then yeah, we'd get an announcement on the Limit Break show later.
Yeah. So this match called Takeover. Hio to Dr. Wagner Jr. and Galeno Del Mal defeated Saxon Huxley and LJ Cleary in 11th. With the Emerald Explosion from Wagner on Cleary, just a farewell match using the Emerald Explosion as a goodbye to Wagner. I mean, perfectly solid enough. I don't really care about Saxon Huxley anymore. And I can't believe they brought him back. Yeah. But it is what it is. And it's funny because you have like the I was going to say something somewhat, but the cast-offs from some of failed factions in Noah, like we got some Real teaming with some former GLG.
Yeah, basically that's what they are. No, to me, like the thing that bothered me, like it was a perfectly acceptable match, but I was like, this is like Wagner's last match on Noah. Like this is the best you could come up with. Like it's not even like people that he would like that he's like regularly faced before, right? Like it's like, oh yeah, we all remember those classic matches between Wagner and LJ Cleary. Like I don't know, like it felt a little bit weird, like that they just kind of like just it had just no flair at all, just very weird as like a last match. And I think I mentioned this before. I think I would have actually preferred if they had done like the brother match here, and then Galeno would have been put over and all of that. And yeah, I don't know. It was very weird. A shame. Paul, like I'm going to miss Wagner though.
Oh, for sure. I mean, he was one of the highlights. Paul, I forgot to mention, this did 1,535 fans.
Yes. Super- no, it's a really good number.
The Team 2000X is over.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't even know.
I certainly did not see this coming.
No, absolutely not. I remember like 2 months ago when we were like, when it like formed, and we were like, what the fuck is this? And now it's the like the hottest thing in Japan.
Speaking of Wagner though, I think I saw somewhere that he's on some loot, so I just thought that was sort of that he might not be I mean, he's probably still going somewhere, but he's doing some indie dates in the States first.
Yeah, might be. Maybe there's like a delay or something with the like, for example, like let's say he goes to like WWE, right? Like, do they want to bring him in, like, right now? Like, maybe, I mean, would they put him straight into the Rumble?
No, because nobody knows who.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Oh, then like random TNA wrestler or something like that, yeah. Right?
So might be that he's doing like indie dates and then they're going to bring him in like after Mania because they're like already busy with like other plans.
Yeah, for sure. So the next match is Team 2000X versus All Rebellion. Dagen Uwada versus Alejandro and Kai Fujimura. Defeated Alejandro and Kai Fujimura in 1202 with the backslide from Uwada on Fujimura. I thought this is a good match. I thought the closing stretch was really good. And I like Uwada just stealing that win, getting that big win because you got to establish him.
Yeah. No, I love this, like, Uwada as a heel. Like, he's just prime, like, prick energy right now. Just complete asshole. I think it's been awesome for that. I could actually see him, like, take over, like, the faction once they, like, turn Ozawa face.
Oh, for sure. That would probably be the play there. And then another Team 2000X was All Rebellion. Jack Morrison almost defeated Kaito Kiyomi and Haru Toki in 658 with the last ride from almost... on her token. Look, I enjoyed the Morrison. Well, I enjoyed the Morrison almost team while it lasted. I guess, like, a dominant win, sort of just to keep them going now. And then, of course, we get to the Team 2000X versus All Rebellion sort of combination of this. Ozawa versus Kenna went to a no contest in 1646. Mm-hmm. I mean, I thought it was pretty good while it lasted, but it was sort of like, well, how are they going to book themselves out of this? Not surprised.
Turns out it's just we're just gonna have a no contest.
Yeah, which, because then it turned into a six versus four handicap match. So it was like Ozawa, Jack Morris, almost Daga, Uwada, and Yoshitatsu defeated Kaito Kiyomiya, Alejandro, and Kai Fujimura in 724 with the real rebel from Ozawa on Alejandro. Team 2000X dominant. They won.
I thought it was funny though that like almost was like the only one left on the apron when the match started because everybody like spilled to the outside like immediately and just everybody had like their assigned guy they were brawling with and then almost is just standing there on the apron by himself, not quite sure what to do.
And so in the main event for the GHC national title, Tetsuya Endo defeated Manabu Soya in 19 minutes and 30 seconds with the Burning Star Press to become the 14th champion with Soya failing on his attempt for the V6. I thought this was actually pretty good, but not like super awesome or anything. I went like, I don't know, maybe 3 3/4. But I think it could have gone higher. But then, of course, you know, it got to some cheating because, as you'll probably all know by now, Endo obviously turned and joined Team 2000X. He did the hazard stuff, but did cheat to win and everything like that. But it was probably the right move just for Endo to win this title. Nevertheless, they're going to do a rematch. We'll get into that. But yeah, what do you think of Endo joining Team 2000X?
Yeah, he came out wearing the tights that he was wearing while he was Damnation.
Burning? Oh,
no, Damnation. He came out in his Damnation tights, which in hindsight was very much a tip off of what was going to happen. He was super over. So at first I was like, I don't think I would turn either of them heel because it wasn't quite clear immediately, right? Like it was clear that one of them was going to turn and that like Team 2000X was going to interfere in some way. It turns out they helped Endo and helped him win the title. I don't like he was super over as a face, but I don't exactly hate this. I do think like that Team 2000X needs like a bunch of people that will always be there. So, and Endo definitely will be because there is, right, obviously they're already losing almost. And then it's questionable, like Jack Morris, I think is like at the very least going back to Europe for like a little bit. So you do need like some people to represent the team. And I think it made sense like afterwards when he cut his promo, he was like, well, actually this was the plan all along because Noah ruined my career when I got knocked. The problem obviously is that like the guy that did that is no longer with Noah. So that's makes it a little bit awkward, but I think it makes sense that he's like, yeah, like it was because of Noah that my career got completely derailed. So now I'm going to come over here and I'm just going to fuck your shit up. I think that actually is kind of a logical thing like for him to do. Like it's a logical reason for him to turn.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. So, I mean, I thought that was obviously like one of the more livelier Noahs, Noah Corkin shows that I had seen in quite some time, right? So I think that really helped and everything.
Crowd was hot.
yeah, you felt a lot of momentum coming out of that and everything. So the very next day, on the third, or no, 2 days later, at NOAA Limit Break X at Yokohama Radiant Hall, in front of 256 fans, we had Setsuki Nagao defeating Daiki Odashima in 10-24 with a modified single leg crab hold. Actually, this match was really good, and I think that Nagao is actually showing quite a bit of improvement since his when he challenged Akitoshi Saito for the title like back last summer after 7-1. So that's good. And I didn't think that match was that good. So this is a good to see. Next up, the Reeve Mask 2 and Azure Cleary defeated the Reeve Mask and Black Mensa Ray in 9-26 with the Yushi Garoshi from Cleary on Mensa Ray. I hate these Reeve Mask matches.
They're so bad. They are not funny at all.
No. Tomomitsu Matsunaga and Kohei Kinoshita defeated Brian Ishizaka and Kaigo Nakamura in 11-16 with the cradle cutback from Matsunaga on Nakamura. A rare win for Matsunaga. It was solid, but I didn't leave too much of an impression on me. I don't know, Paul, what do you think of that match?
Yeah, same. Basically, it's like, it was okay, but also like very unmemorable.
Yeah. And then we had Takashi Sugiura, Shuhei Taniguchi, and Koji Doi versus Kazuyuki Fujita, Shuji Ishikawa, and Gaina. So like a large guys. And they went to a time of around 20 minutes. And honestly, I thought it was a lot of fun. It dragged on a bit towards the end, but I did enjoy it just for the beef, I guess. And then for the Team NOAA first anniversary singles match number one, Hajime Ohara defeated Atsushi Kitoge in 1925 at the Moi Bien. First of all, I can't believe Ohara. I mean, yeah, or I can't believe Ohara won / Kitoge did the job. What do we?
Yeah, it's so weird.
I mean, they sort of positioned Kitoge as the number two in
on. He's literally the flag bearer. Like,
yeah, he's the guy who always comes out with the flag and everything like that, right? And as for the match itself, I mean, they could have shaved 5 minutes off of this. It would have been a lot better. I mean, it wasn't bad. It just sort of dragged on a bit and everything like that.
I also haven't gotten used to like Kotoga's new look. Like,
right.
It's kind of, I don't know. It's kind of like, it's weird. I don't know what, yeah, I agree. I also don't understand what's happening with him, where they just decided that he can't win any matches ever now.
Yeah. I don't know.
He shouldn't be lower on the totem pole than Hajime Ohara.
No, he should. Especially in like a spot like this, you know.
Yeah.
The sort of flag bearer, especially with the results of the main event. So, in the Team NOAA first anniversary special singles match 2, Muhammad Yone defeated Goshi Ozaki 21-30 with a cross knee lock. Paul, I thought this was a lot of fun, and I thought Go was just awesome selling it.
Yeah, no, it's Yone every once in a while when he's actually given an opportunity like this. He's like, he actually turns it up real hard.
Oh, yeah.
And he definitely did here. I have to say I was a little but not too surprised with the result, because again, like him, like Go kind of bowing, like A, there not being any more like Limit Break shows being booked, and Go like bowing to the crowd in Korakuen, I'm like, oh, there's something up here. And then yeah, he like drops to Yone here because he's gonna go away again.
Yeah. As far as I can tell, there's been, so Go has got like double knees, so he might be out a while. He posted a picture, I think, on his Twitter where it's like he showed the screws that they took out, probably put in new screws. And as far as I can tell, Paul, with the 0-1 relaunch imminent, they still haven't said anything about what's happening to the world title.
Nope. We don't know. No, I haven't seen anything.
I mean, I could be completely wrong. I haven't been complete. I was paying attention, but I haven't been paying attention. I was like looking for stuff, but in the last week, I think I sort of stopped looking for to see anything was happening. So I kind of completely missed it. But I think feel like someone would have posted it somewhere that I frequent in the VOW Discord or something like that. But yeah, nothing. So it remains a mystery.
Yeah, it's technically also on Cage Match at least. So it seems like they also don't have any updated information. Because currently, Goshi Ozaki is still champion on Cage Match. So, who knows? Like, what's... Like, we were always wondering, it's like, yeah, who are they actually going to, like, get Go to, like, drop for, right? Or who can they agree... Will Go actually be, like, willing to drop for to, like, lose this title? And turns out, it's nobody.
Well, here's the thing. I do not know what the severity of the knee injury was. Was it just upkeep on his... Is the Because, you know, the general rule is like, okay, you have 6 months to defend the title. Before. So maybe, could he be back in like 5 months and then just get paid
But on does 0-1 want to like not have a title for it's like 5 months?
One. It's also 0-1. True. So
I mean, I think actually we're going to find out more information in not next week, but there's kind of next week actually, yeah. Yeah, because it's on the 9th, so on next Sunday, they're going to have a show in Shinkiba, which is like the 0-1 keep on running show.
Right.
So I assume if there is anything, they're going to announce it there.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay, so maybe we'll find out soon or not. You never know, 0-1 or something like that. There was a couple of other spot shows around, but I didn't catch any of them. So we're going to move to the 25th.
Oh, actually, sorry, just real quick, I was looking at the card for the 0-1 show. They're bringing in Shane Mercer.
Oh, that's right. Yes, I saw that. Mm-hmm. That is a wild match.
Yeah, it's Daisuke Sekimoto, Shane Mercer against Chris Weiss and Masato Tanaka.
That could be a lot.
Actually, wait, let me just double check, because Shane Mercer, the youngest person on the show. Not quite, but it's close. Like, at least in terms of like announced talent. Shane Mercer is 36, and there's only two people announced for the show so far that are... No, actually, there's one other 36-year-old with Yoshizaku Yokoyama, and then Kentaro Hachizu at 34 years is currently the youngest wrestler announced for the show.
Oh, yeah. That's 0-1. Because, yeah, none of the younger guys from Toho, whatever's going on there, are on that show, right?
Jesus, Mammoth Sasaki and Takashi Sasaki versus Hide Kubota and Takuya Sugawara.
Oh, wow. Mammoth Sasaki's still wrestling, too. That's funny.
Yep.
Okay. Well, I mean, that is a 0-1 card for now. It'll be interesting to see, but I don't know. If it pops up, we'll watch it. So
maybe it's on Wrestle Universe. Who knows if they still have... I mean, it still is still a selectable thing on Wrestle Universe, so who knows? Yeah. Maybe it will be on there.
Maybe. So we then go to the next big show, which was on the 25th at Osaka Edeon Arena number 2 in front of 752 fans. Which, Paul, I gotta say, for Edeon number 2, that's not that great given what was on this show, I thought.
Yes, but counterpoint, it's the best number in there since 2019.
Oh, okay. Well, then, okay, fair.
Like that, yeah, you could have maybe drawn a few more fans, but like I can't really...
All Japan has drawn like 800-900 for cards.
Yeah, like no, for sure. But on the other hand, like if you draw your best number in like 6 years, I think you do get a bit of kudos for that.
Sure. So we start off with Masa Kitamiya and Uka Sasaki defeating Fuhei Taniguchi and Zozaya and Tensik. The Saito suplex from Kitamiya on Zozaya. Paul, I really dug this. This is just no-nonsense wrestling between a couple of technical guys and a couple of power wrestlers. I just was opening match.
Yeah. No, it's also kind of the guys that, again, are kind of a bit directionless in a way.
Yeah.
So it's fine, but
Paul, depending on how long Ozawa's title reign goes, you know at some point Masa Kitamiya is going to be brought up to challenge him.
Oh, no, absolutely. Like I actually expect that to be happening like sooner rather than later. Because they've been picking up wins.
And next up, we had Saxon Huxley versus Deki Odoshima, defeated Deki Odoshima in 634 with the neck hanging bomb. Which is it fair to say this is Deki Odoshima's worst match so far?
Oh, for sure. Like, it's not even close. That was just, I mean, it was a Saxon Huxley match. And he gave Deki Odoshima less than like Fujita did in a minute.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. And then next up, Naomi Chimura, Fuji, Takashi Sugawara, and Manabu Soya defeated Muhammad Yone, Atsushi Kotoge, and Hajime Ohara in 9/11 with the dando from Soya on Ohara, which is the this is definitely a match of directionless guys.
Oh god, yeah, that's what this really felt like. Again, it was again one of those things where like I'm not used to Kotoge's new look. So like I look up and I see Kotoge has tagged in and I'm like, who's that? It's like, oh wait, no, that's Kotoge. Oh shit.
So it was solid, just to give Soya some heat back. Then Yohei, Tadasuke, and Yuto Kikuchi defeated Amasaka Jun in 12 minutes when Kikuchi used the Chaos Break on Cleary. I thought this was a nice little solid match. Poor Cleary basically is like the lowest guy by any...
Essentially, yeah. But I will say Kikuchi, super over.
Yes, well, I mean, it's Osaka.
Yeah.
So that's not surprising. But yeah, look, we've already been through this with Amos Lucky, but we'll get to the tag, junior tag league.
Exactly. Yeah. Maybe they're going to do something with them there in before they finish with 0 points.
and then Ozawa, Tetsuya Endo, Daga, and Owada-san, as they're now calling him, Keno, Harutoki, Alejandro, and Kai Fujimori in 1904 with the Big Bang Edge from Ozawa on Alejandro. There was a lot of like stalling in this, I thought, early on, but it did turn out pretty well by the end, I thought.
Yeah, no, definitely. It was. They were playing around a lot, but I for Team 2000X, I think you do want to like establish that they're heels, right?
Yeah.
Because essentially, like, this kind of team up is going to be the core of the faction.
Yeah.
So you do want to like establish them properly.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, more or less, that's what you're going to do. Now, we go to this next match for the GHC Junior Heavyweight title. Ada defeated Hayata in 1849 with the numero uno to make his first defense. Look, I'll give him this. The last couple of minutes were pretty good, but the first two-thirds of this was like what you expect from Hayata. Although Ada's wrestling with his shirt off now, so he seems motivated. But, you know, this is kind of what I thought. It went too long. They finished well, but then it was...
So I actually only saw the last 8 minutes of this match. I literally was like, yeah, no, I'm not dealing with this. And I also was like, I had to like go to the bakery. So I literally like spent the first 10 minutes going to the bakery, buying bread and then coming back. And I literally just asked in the Discord, did I miss anything? And I was told, nope, just a bunch of limerick. I was like, yep, that's exactly what I expected.
Yeah. And then in the main event for the GHC Tag Team Championship, Jack Morrison almost defeated Kaito Kiyomiya and Galeno Del Mal. 1710 with the last ride from Almost on Kiyomiya. Okay, we'll get to all of the fallout in a minute, but I did enjoy this match. I liked
the match was really good, yeah.
And I thought this is the best that I thought Almost has ever looked. I mean, mm-hmm. Yes, he's being obviously carried along, and I think Kaito works with him well, but I just, you know, really thought this was a good match. And I would have been like, this is a great match.
Yeah. No, I thought this was like the first time Almost has like looked like he actually enjoys like wrestling, you know, like the actual like wrestling part of wrestling, like him putting that like stomp on Kiyomiya and then him, you just this raw energy bursting out of him because he knows he just did a really fucking cool thing.
Yeah,
like that was really nice to see. And yeah, just in general, I thought he looked really good. Also, like that woman in the crowd just like losing her mind, like just screaming in abject terror when Kaito is like up for the last round, because again, Almost is really tall. So Kaito is like almost like very close to the ceiling, actually.
Yeah.
And yeah, no, that was great as well. So no, the match itself, I really, really enjoyed. Like I would go like 4.25 on it, actually.
Oh, that high. I was thinking like 3.75 or something like that.
No, I thought it was really good. Yeah.
Yeah. So of course, you know, can't let a good moment go to waste in Noah. So after the match, Almost announces he's leaving and gives the title to Daga.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fair to say there was some blowback on this online because this is not really how Japan, especially in a company like Noah, right? So then they then announce that the titles are vacant, and of course there's the debate. Oh, did they vacate the titles because of the fan backlash, or was it always the plan? Because like now you see like tweets from Jack Morrison being like, you know, playing into Team 2000X, they're trying to screw with us, they're trying to hold us down type thing. But what do you think, Paul? I think it was always...
I also think it was supposed to be an angle that they were going to vacate the titles and everything, because it was kind of weird, right? It's just immediately... It's literally like Almost gets the microphone like after the match and it just immediately hands the title to Daga. And then relatively quickly afterwards, they announced that like the titles are vacant. So that again leads, and again it feeds perfectly into the storyline. It was a couple of days, but basically it feeds perfectly into the storyline. Like that's what leads me to believe that was the plan all along. Where it's just Team 2000X are kind of like, I think what the playbook here is like, it's basically what New Japan was doing with LIJ. Right, because the vibes are pretty similar. Like, I mean, Ozawa is quite literally like just like he's literally doing the Naito pose with an added flap. So very clearly, like trying to emulate that playbook. But it's also like no, like the reason you're getting screwed over by the promotion is because you were like the guys break, like you were breaking the rules and you were like fucking with everybody. So now like the promotion is cracking down on you. But then that obviously you can use as like grievance fuel to be like, look, see, they're discriminating against us basically. Yeah. So it makes sense from that perspective. But I have to say, yeah, in the moment when it happened, I was also pissed. I was like, this is really stupid. Like, this is just like, why are you doing this? I mean, I saw people go as far as saying like it was a mistake to bring in Omos, and I think that's a bit too
much. No, I really enjoyed Omos.
He was so over as well. Like, he literally only wrestled like what, a handful of matches in the promotion and got a standing ovation in the Edion Arena when he left. Like, the entire crowd was chanting Omos.
He got some viral things because on Instagram, you know those accounts where it's like stopping people in the street and talking to them in all sorts of different cities around the world. Well, somebody ran into Almost, like, who has, like, one of those accounts in Japan. And I saw him. It, like, popped up on my Instagram feed. Just, like, talking to Almost. He's, like, it wasn't, like, a planned thing. He ran into Almost on the street while he was filming and everything like that and chatted him up.
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, course, if you're not doing that.
How he was a wrestler and the anime he liked.
Of course. No, I mean, that's the other thing, right? Like, if you're doing a show like that and you see Omos coming your way, you just do whatever you can to interview that guy. Like, no, absolutely. And you will see him coming in a normal crowd, like in like, I don't know, like everywhere, like around the world, you will see him coming, but you will 110% will see him coming in Japan. So no, I feel like this is also felt definite. I mean, obviously it was WWE's call to like have him like leave, but I also feel like if it's up to him, like he's going to be back, because I think he really like I said, it's really feels for the first time that he actually enjoyed like doing wrestling. Mm-hmm. So we'll see if they allow him to be back. First, he'll have to he's probably going to be in a Rumble where he will be eliminated, and then let's see if they have anything for him to do afterwards or not.
So this angle, I am convinced, Paul, this is all Noah's choice and fault, if you want to blame it. I don't think WWE big time them or anything like that.
No.
Look, first of all, Meltzer reported that Omos was going to be leaving later on in January, right after he won the titles. So we knew that was obviously maybe there's Omos can't do a job, but Morris could have done a job, and they didn't even have to put the tag titles on them in the first place. If you really want to think about it. So this is all Noah booking. This is all probably Nosawa. You know, he's like, oh, I got this WWE guy that's really tall. I'm going to use him like this, all on him. You know, I'm not someone who's going to sit here and try to defend, but you have to be angry at Nosawa. This is all on him. And this is exactly what we were concerned about from the very beginning. How, you know, Nosawa has a hot angle, but he's going to be his own worst.
No, I also agree like that. It's not that, because again, just given how short all of this was, right? Like, WWE told him, like, you have this guy for this many dates. And, like, I don't think they would have been like, oh, you're putting the title on him. Well, you can't have him lose the title, right? Like, that doesn't really make much sense.
Right.
Like, or it would have been WWE to force them to be like, yeah, you need to put a belt on him. Like, I don't think doing that either. Like, let's say in theory they were saying, yeah, no, he can't, like, lose the title. Like, or he can't be in a match where he loses the title. Then I think Noah should have just gone, like, well, then we're not going to put the belt on him. He's really only here for, like, a month. Again, I think no matter what, like, literally the only way this would be WWE's fault would be, like, if they had been, like, no, you need to put a belt on him, but you can't lose it. That doesn't make sense if it's, like, a month. Like, even WWE, which is far from the most rational promotion, would be doing that. It just doesn't make any, like, sense. So, yeah, if anyone's at fault, it's Nosawa.
Yeah, like, I just have to say it. Because I saw some people being like, oh, like, initially when it happened, they think that this is WWE. But it any evidence of it. And we knew that Omos was not going to be there forever. In fact, not even a month. So, you know. So, look, I don't think that everything's falling apart. I think Ozawa is still incredible and everything like that. But it doesn't help, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think it's helped at all.
The one thing I would say, though, is just real brief. I know Kaito doesn't lose that much, but should he really? Like, I get that Galeno couldn't take the fall here. But, like, why isn't this, like, Kaito and Harutoki versus, like, Jack Morrison almost, right? Because then you're just going to have, like, Harutoki take the fall instead. It would have made more sense for Galeno to be in a match with Ozawa anyway.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, yeah. That's the only other thing where I'm like, yeah, I don't think Kaito is really hurt by this, but it's also, I don't know, there could have been a smarter way to book this as well, like who actually takes the fall here.
So that was that show. I thought it was still a good show despite everything at the end. And then we move on to upcoming things in NOAH. We've got a junior tag league going that starts at Korakuen, Yokohama, starts on February 11th. And then the final match is at the Yokohama Budokan on March 2nd. So in the A block, we've got Hayata and Yohei, Alejandro and Kai Fujimura, Ada and Daiki Odashima, which is a fun little team. Yeah. I wonder if Ada's going to try to teach Odashima how to be a scuzzy guy. I assume that's what it's got to be all about, right?
Yes, probably, yeah.
And then we've got Mark True and Kieran Lacey from the UK. I have no idea who these guys are, Paul. Do you know?
Not a super lot. I mean, they actually worked the UK tour. Okay. Yeah, from what I've seen, they're like okay. Like I haven't seen a lot of them. What I've seen of them, they're okay. Haven't really blown me away, so we'll see how they actually do here.
In B block, we got Atsushi Kotoga and Hajime Ohara, the aforementioned team we want to see something happen with, Amasuka and Junta Miyawaki. We got Tadasuke and Yudo Kikuchi, and then Jun Masaoka and Gaia Hawk as your sort of indie outsiders, freelancer guys. Let's see the rules here. Doesn't say there's semis.
So they're just going straight to the finals then?
Yeah. And well, there are,
okay, yeah, so it actually says the championship match. It actually says A block first place team versus B block first place team in the Budokan, the Yokohama Budokan.
It says now there are tiebreakers. You know, if you get the tiebreak, but somehow if it does end in a real draw, there will be a match for the advancement. But I know, Paul. What's your guess here?
I could see. I mean, either I could see this come down to be like Ratels versus Ratels. But then again, we just did that. I could also see, like, I could actually see a Maxa and Junta Miyawaki actually, like, go to the finals against Hayat and Yohei. Like, I do think Hayat and Yohei make it out of A block.
That seems like that's a very possible final. I would go Alejandro. I mean, what I would do is I'd go All Rebellion versus Amasuka and Miyawaki.
That would be the most interesting match for sure. I think that would be the best match, possible match.
That would be the best match, I think, as well.
Yeah.
But Hayata and Yohei versus Amasuka and Miyawaki stick, I think. That's assuming we might be putting too much faith in Amasuka and Miyawaki.
Yeah, I think that's more like we want them to be there. It could also be that they like finish like last, even behind really like the like indie team.
Ratels versus Ratels.
Yeah.
So in terms of upcoming shows, there's a couple spot shows, but I'll just go over what has something interesting. So on the February 8th at Shinjuku Face, we've got Ozawa and Endo versus Galeno and Soya. That could be a lot. That could be pretty good. We've got a four-way tag match with Hayata Yohei versus Alejandro and Kai Fujimura versus True and Lacey versus Ada and Odashima. So, and then we've got a three-way tag match, which is Kotoga and Hajime Ohara versus Amasuka and Junta Miyawaki versus Tadasuke and Yudoku. That is some crazy Ozawa to build up to your tag. We got Kiyomiya and Harutoki versus Masa Kirimiya and Uko Sasaki. And we got, which to me is the most interesting thing on here, we got Keno versus Owada-san.
Ooh, yeah, that should be good.
Also former tag team partners, if you recall the tag league last year.
Yes, I think they were quite a fun team.
Yeah. We've got Muhammad Yoni and Black Mansouray versus Anthony Green and Zozaya. So it's nice to see Green back. I think he'll work well with Zozaya.
Yeah, I think that the kind of need some more like heavyweight tag teams, to be honest, because don't really have that many like regular teams going right now.
No, they don't. It's sort of like basically
ad hoc,
Fuji, yeah, right? And are like Kiyomiya and Harutoki really the tag team probably going forward?
Probably, yeah. I mean, I to me, it's the one that makes the most sense,
yeah. And then Mara Fuji and Shuya Taniguchi versus Takashi Sugiura and Shuji Kondo, which could also be a lot of fun. And then the next real big show is on the 11th at Korakuen Hall. Oh, that's an early show. They usually don't do they have the 11:30 a.m. spot on the show, which is not what they usually have in Korakuen.
No, they normally always have the evening spot there.
Oh, it's a holiday because it's on Tuesday.
Ah, okay, that makes sense. I never remember when Golden Week is. Golden Week is a different part of the year, yeah.
So in this show, we got the kickoff of the tag league. So we got Atsushi Kotoge and Hajime Ohara versus Tatsuki and Yuta, Alejandro and Kai Fujimura versus Ada and Deki Odashima, Hayata and Yohei versus Mark True and Kieran Lacey. We got another rematch for the national title, Tetsuya Endo versus Soya, and I expect obviously Endo to retain. And in the main event, Ozawa versus Galeno Del Mal for the title. Paul, do you agree with having Galeno lose a big singles match so soon into his sort of like, I'm a Noah guy now?
Yeah, no, I think actually it establishes him that like they're showing that like, hey, we trust this guy to have like the book that they're going to do something with him. Like, obviously, he doesn't have a chance of winning, but I think it does show that they want to do something with him. So I actually think it's a good idea.
How clean is Ozawa going to win, or is this going to be a total mess because they're going to do this? It's like it's going to take, you know, all members of Team 2000X to put down this large man.
I would prefer if they just kind of wrestled it mostly clean, but yeah, I don't know how they're planning to, like, do this.
That's what I'm a little nervous about.
Yeah.
I think it's just sort of like a little too obvious and glaring and everything like that.
But then again, they kind of put him over strongly in like the six-man tags, right?
Yeah.
So I do think Noah realizes that they have something with this guy. So that's why I'm like a little bit more positive that they're not going to like, well, they might still fuck it up despite the fact that they know they got something with him. But at least it won't be like that they're trying to like kneecap him. It's more like that they just don't execute on it. But it definitely feels like, do you realize there's something here and we have to like capitalize on it?
Mm-hmm. So that is Pro Wrestling Noah. One thing. Kaito Kimi has been announced for those Scott D'Amore's Maple Leaf Pro shows.
Mm-hmm.
So he's coming back to Canada. Mm-hmm. And I think he's going to be in they're doing more shows in Windsor in March. And then they're going to the old Maple Leaf Gardens in May. But it sounds like the show, well, we've got Baron Corbin and Kaito Kiyomiya. Not book them in a match together.
I mean, as long as that doesn't, like, I really hope this doesn't end with, like, Noah bringing in, like, what is his name? Bishop Dina or something?
Everyone expects him to go to New Japan.
Yeah. Which, you know what, they can have him.
Yeah. So Kaito will be on the shows on March 14th and 15th in Windsor, Ontario. So that's something to look out for. I don't know if I would go to that. I'm certainly not ruling that out, but I don't think that's going to happen, to be completely honest with you. But so that's it. Paul, did we mention Sekimoto and Carrot? Because we had that in the
room. We didn't. So just for quick, Sekimoto was announced as like the last guy for Carrot. It did make, because I actually wasn't planning to go to Carrot this year, it did make me reconsider until I like looked at like available hotels in and around Oberhausen, and I was like, yeah, no, I don't think I'm going to do this after all. So unfortunately I won't be seeing him live, but or at least not in person. Probably going to watch Carrot through streaming. So I am looking forward, like, especially if we get like the kind of Sekimoto that we got on the Cobb match. This is kind of a stacked like Carrot field. So I'm very interested to see what he's going to do in there.
All right. So we move on to All Japan Pro Wrestling. They had their New Year Fan Thanksgiving Day on the 18th at Shinjuku Face for 510 for a Supernova Legacy full house that they announced. And we started off Shitaro Shido, Dan Tamer, and Ryo Inoue defeating Hideki Suzuki, Yuko Miyamoto, and Hikaru Saito at 9:59 with the ankle lock from Ishino on Miyamoto. And then at which point said he decided that he was going to challenge for the Gaara TV title. We'll get into more of that. So we had a special Alpida versus Alpida, but they mixed up the team. So we had Yuma Anzai and Ren Ayabe defeating Rising Kaido and Reiki Honda in 13:03 when Anzai used the giblet on Hayato. I thought that this was pretty good. I mean, what did you expect from these guys? And, well, Ren was along for the ride, we'll say.
Yeah. I thought it was really fun, though. I mean, they were also super over. I think that really helps. So, I have to say, though, I do prefer, like, the other configuration, essentially. So,
yeah.
I mean, if anything, I would actually like to see Ren Ayabe and Hayato team up and then put, like, New Period back together.
Yes. I mean, I thought New Period was...
Yeah.
And they never got that tag title run. You know, that sort of gave me flashbacks to the fact that, like, remember, like, Naoya Nomura and Jake Lee could like barely hold on to the tag titles.
Just because one of them would get injured.
Jake,
yeah,
threw out his knee and everything like that.
Yeah, so, but at least they tried to give him titles and didn't even try that with Anzai and Honda.
Yeah, which is strange given how the promotion was smartly youth focused and everything like that.
Yeah.
And then so the Aizawa number one decision match. Musashi, Seki Yoshioka, and Sego Tachibana defeated Hokuto Omori at Zawa number one and Mr. Saturday Miruki during 12:43 with a Nitin Ichiru from Musashi and Aizawa. And I'm not even sure what the story behind
it. Yeah, this I have no clue. That.
This was, this was just the like the mid-card special, you know, perfectly fine, yeah. But, you know, not much else to say about it. Older brother versus younger brother special tag match. Jun Saito and Yuma Aoyagi defeated Rei Saito and Atsuki Aoyagi when Yuma used the fool on his brother in 14:50 to get the pin. I mean, this was pretty good, I thought.
Yeah. No, it really was. Like, it's always the case of like if you wrestle your brother, you can like lay it in a bit more. And here you had four of them essentially. So they definitely went a lot harder than I expected.
Jun and Atsuki actually worked really well together.
Yeah. No, that one I was really surprised by as well. Because Atsuki is very small. Well, very small by all Japan standards. So
sure.
And I wasn't, because I don't think I've ever really seen, because All Japan doesn't really have that many like flyers and like the heavyweights or whatever. Yeah. So I wasn't really sure how well like Jun would do as like a base for like Atsuki's flying, but I thought he did that pretty good.
Yeah. And in the main event, the Taishin Nagao 3-match trial series extra special singles match, Kenta Miyahara defeated Taishin Nagao in 16:03 with a 2-step German suplex. I don't even know if it had to go 16 minutes, but I thought this was still pretty darn good with like Miyahara just controlling the crowd and like Nagao making his valiant comebacks and everything like that.
Yeah. I mean, I would say, I mean, it's the main event, so it has to go longer, but I did feel like it went a little bit too long. So,
sure.
But it was really fun otherwise. And again, I think it's very interesting. They're giving Taishin Nagao like main events in Shinjuku phase. Literally, yeah. Like
well, a couple I mean, of months into his career. Day.
Yeah, I mean it's definitely that. But like again, you could have put this in like you could have made the brother match the main event.
Oh, easily, but they decided to go with this one for sure.
Yeah, which is interesting.
I find it interesting. Actually, I should both say that both Noah and All Japan right now have these very small, by their standards, when in general, these small guys that are really good underdogs in Odashima and Nagao.
Oh yeah, for sure. So, I mean, the good underdogs with both of them, though. I mean, they're obvious like juniors, right? That's the other thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, and both promotions kind of need a few. I mean, All Japan also needs juniors, but both promotions definitely need more heavyweights. So I hope we'll get some of those as soon as well.
Oh, did we talk about how he left the company?
You mean the other guy that was supposed to debut with Nagao? No, I don't think we ever talked about that. Yeah, he got a concussion just before his debut. Yeah.
And Tarada.
Yeah, that was his name.
And gone. This is a shame.
Yeah.
But like getting an injury and getting spooked and deciding not to be a wrestler, that happened.
It happens quite often, I think. Like especially, I think it happens a lot to Dragon Gate. Well, to be fair, they also have more trainees. So, yeah. But I think I've definitely seen it like a couple of times where like a guy like debuts, like either gets injured just before debut or like debuts and has like a handful of matches and then just decides that it's actually not for them. So yeah, it's unfortunate, but what can you do?
Yeah. And I don't think there's any word yet of that tryout they held in December, but they usually like wait a bit before they announce that. So hopefully they found one or two more guys to go in the dojo. And then, so we move on to the 26th at Makuhari Messe International Exhibition Center Hall and number 4 in front of 1,012 fans. I mean, that's in the range of what you're going to do like that.
Yeah.
I think it's just, look, anywhere, and this is in Chiba, anywhere outside of Tokyo that All Japan draws 1,000 people. Really.
Now, to be, it's technically outside of Tokyo. You can get, like...
Chiba's, like, going to, like, I don't know, Long Island, saying you're, I don't know. But
yeah. Because, but, like, the Makuhari is also on, like, the, like, western end of Chiba as well. So, fun fact, I actually looked it up after I looked up Itabashi. It is actually like about the same amount of time it takes to get from Korakuen to Itabashi Tokyo Square as it is to get from Korakuen to like to Makuhari Messe. Like it's about 1 hour 20 minutes. So it definitely is a significant time commitment to go if you're in Tokyo, but it's technically doable by like public transport.
Yeah.
But I definitely think the number's good because I think it's about the same what they drew for like Yuma versus Suwama in there.
So we start off with the Saito brothers versus Zenichi Hontai. So it's Rei Saito and Senyor Saito defeating Taishi Nagao and Seki Yoshioka in 9:47 with a choke slam from Rei on Nagao. It's actually kind of impressive that they lasted almost 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But that was a solid little opener. For some laughs and just, I don't know. I really like Gao mixing up with these big guys. Gaora TV title. Yuko Miyamoto defeated Hikaru Shino in 10:38 with the moonsault press to make a second defense of the title. Look, Paul, I had convinced myself that Shino was going to win.
Oh, yeah, same. It would have made a lot of sense because he's just doing absolutely nothing. So then he at least has something to do.
Then I saw that this was the second match on the show. And let me tell you, look, I know that the Gaora TV title is a bit of a joke. But
yes.
it still will get higher placement than the second matchup.
Yeah, especially given that like what other titles are given at least like being put in like just before as the match before intermission.
I mean, I thought it was a perfectly fine wrestled match, good back and forth. Then all of a sudden, you know, Miyamoto hit a couple moves in the moonsault and won. So it needed like a couple more minutes to build this, but that was my main thing with that. I just don't know what's going on here with poor Ashino.
I mean, because he's also not leaving as well. Like, he's still under contract.
So they brought him and Musashi as the company reps to that. You saw that United Japan meeting?
Yeah.
So United Japan still lives. And it's formally incorporated.
Somehow.
Shinshiro Takagi is, running it. And Fukuda was there. And the wrestlers... like there was a couple wrestlers from each company involved, and it from All Japan, it was Ashino and Musashi, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't think he's going.
I mean, Musashi makes sense because he's like one of the wrestler reps, right? Yep. Like because he's like Kento's assistant or like vice chair or whatever.
The vice that president.
So
I don't know. Friend of the show, Cat Spratt, is pretty adamant that they've got plans for Ashino later on. Or hoping, at least praying, maybe plans for Shino later in the year, and maybe he'll have a strong run in the Champion Carnival. We can hope for that because it is like, are they just going to totally wash their hands of him, or are they just going to drop him now for something later? I mean, it feels like
they have no interest in doing anything with him, and it might be a thing where he's like, okay, they don't have any plans for me, but I also don't really like have like this is still the best I can do.
It kind of is because I don't really think there's a place.
Yeah.
There's not really a place for Noah for him. Right?
They would have been like 2 years ago, but now there isn't. Sure.
Yeah, especially when you're pushing Ozawa and Yuwada, your own guys like this.
Yeah,
there's not really anywhere you can fit in. You'd be in the mid card. You'd be Daiki Inaba.
Yeah,
he's a little better. Well, for now, he's a little better. I'd still have him ranked above Daiki Inaba.
I mean, to be fair, Ishino has like. Won like a Champion Carnival. Like Daiki Inaba has never come close to like anything in like Noah in terms of like single stuff. Like he has like one tag title reign.
Yeah.
And it's not even a long one.
No. So yeah, that's the thing. Maybe just put Ishino back in a tag team. Who needs a tag team? I mean, him and Dan could go.
Yeah.
Tag titles. That would be good. But anyway, so we'll probably complain about Ishino again.
Yes, definitely.
Next up. Hideki Suzuki and Dan Tamura defeated Kengo Mashimo and Ayumu Honda in 9:25 with the regal stretch from Suzuki on Honda. The first time that anyone from 2AW other than Mashimo has been in All Japan. So it seems to be some, you know, I mean, they were in Chiba, obviously.
Yes. Yeah.
Slowly but surely more interpromotional stuff. I was a little disappointed in this, actually, because I was expecting some more cool Mashimo versus stuff, but we didn't get it really that much.
No.
It's just sort of there, I thought.
Was also a lot of a lot more comedy than I expected as well.
Yeah, yeah.
You had like Hideki and Dan like slapping each other. So yeah, I don't know. It was fine. Like a lot of this undercard, it was just very much there.
Yeah. And then for the prestigious AJPW TV six-man titles. Yuma Oyagi, Fuminori Abe, and Hikaru Sato defeated Hokuto Omori, Kuma Arashi, and Aja Kong in 1342 with the Fool from Aoyagi on Omori to make their first defense of the titles. And so what they did, Paul, is when they announced like an axe that was a monster, and then at the press conference before the show, Aja Kong showed up. And so the Baka no Jidai came out with a bunch of those metal trash cans that Aja always carries around. Like, I don't know, like half a dozen of them. And so that played in. And, you know, Yuma came out with his hard hat on and everything like that. And, okay, so there was a lot of comedy in this, but I still think it was pretty good in the end.
Oh, yeah, and overall, I did enjoy it, but...
And the crowd was brilliant.
Yes, so. That's the one thing I will give, like, Yuma with this, like, weird-ass new direction that he's gone in, is that it seems to be over with the crowd.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't, like, the Reeve mask matches where, like, they're doing comedy and, like, nobody reacts.
Yeah. Paul, I'm sure the answer is obvious, but it's just not coming to me now. But who does more jobs as the leader of their unit than Hokuto Omori?
Hokuto is definitely up there. Otherwise, Ishino as leader of Enfance.
No,
the All Japan version.
Yeah,
not even. Trying to think, like, is there anybody?
Is there like a Dragon Gate comedy faction?
Oh, Tozawa Juku. Yeah, probably Tozawa as like leader of Tozawa Juku. That's probably the answer because he probably lost like close to all of his matches during that run. Like who is the leader of Deep Drunkards again? Was it Arai?
Is it Arai? Yeah.
I think it was Arai. So that's probably another one where he like lost a lot of matches.
I mean,
while he was like there.
To, you know, it is sort of a comedy unit in its own way as well, right?
Yes.
Everything like that. So next up, Zenichi Hontai versus Alpida. Rising Hado, Raikou Honda, and Rene Abe defeated Kento Miyahara, Atsuki Aoyagi, and Ryo Inoue 15-12 with the final vent from Honda on Inoue. Now this was when things started to pick up, and I thought this was a very good six-man tag match.
Yeah. No, I joined this one as well. You can't really go wrong, right? Like these are all like pretty good. Like Rene Abe can be Rene Abe. But then everybody else. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So everybody else is really good. I enjoyed this as well. I would go so far to say probably my second favorite match on the show. If I think about it. Because I don't know, like the junior title match I thought was just kind of okay.
Okay, well, let's get into that. Because this seems to be getting some mixed reviews here. For the PWF World Junior Heavyweight title, Musashi defeated Mr. Sato Naruki Doi in 1627 with the Nitin Ichiru. And Doi fails on his fifth defense. And Musashi's a 70th champion. I mean, he's now a contracted All Japan wrestler. So obviously he was going to get his little reign with the title. I thought this was pretty good. I mean, I went like 3 3/4. Again, I'm not saying this was amazing. Solidly well-wrestled match and with a good little closing stretch there. Paul, what were your issues with it then?
I think for me, it was just kind of a bit of a lack of intensity, really. They wrestled it like a nice little match, but with like title matches, especially since this was a title change and like the end of a fairly long title reign as well, like I would have expected them to like try to emphasize that a bit more. And it almost would have been like, I feel like if this was just like a regular singles match without a title up, they kind of would have wrestled it the exact same way. So, like, to me, it just never really escalated to, like, that next level that I kind of expect from a title match.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it sort of hit that next level. But I thought they sort of saved it with the end and everything. Like, that was really solid, right? I don't know. I just thought
it was. I don't think it was bad, but I was definitely, like, disappointed afterwards.
And then Hikaru Sato came up. And you know it's the first challenger because it's Hikaru.
Of course. He doesn't have a contract, but like it's contractually mandated that Hikaru Sato gets like the first shot at whoever is the new champion.
Yeah.
I just remembered something on the Noah section that I forgot to talk about. So with Hayata losing, right? Because I mentioned earlier that there was like a stat I was only told after the match. which I think it was Mitch in the VOW Discord that like unearthed that one. It's the first time since 2018 that Hayata has lost a junior title challenge.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, literally every other time he's come and asked the challenger into a junior title match, he has won.
Wow. Damn. Okay. Well,
yeah, that's an insane stat. It's absolutely insane.
I mean, we'll say, okay, you know, Hayata's in his late 30s. Maybe we've passed the peak of Hayata mania in the...
I mean, he's still a champion, and I don't know. Retails is still super over and sells a lot of merch, so I would be shocked if he doesn't win that title again.
Of course.
But maybe not every single time now. That would be nice. Maybe he can lose like half of his challenges now.
Yeah. So we move on to the Triple Crown main event. Jun Seto defeated Yuma Anzai in 28-13 with the Psycho Break to make his first defense of the titles. I thought this was pretty darn good. I went 4 stars. Could a couple minutes have been shaved off? Yes. Was there a little awkwardness? I thought Anzai had almost killed Saito with that, one of those gimlet. Did you see that gimlet that went awry?
Yeah, I'm surprised he even got him up for that. But one of my big issues that I just have with this move, right? Like, where it's just you get to like the size of like a Saito, and it's like there's a chance that one of these days this act like it actually goes awry, like in a bad way, and not like here where it was fine ultimately. But it was definitely like I was holding my breath on that.
Yeah, for sure. But I mean, look, I thought the last like third of the match was really strong, really laying into each other. Like they brought that intensity that you look for. Not perfect, again, a little too long, a little awkward at spots, but I still think this was very good in the end as a complete package. Felt like a war when these two were finished with.
Yeah, like that choke slam from the top looked really good that June had on Anzai. I also the other part, like I thought the finishing sequence was really good, but I also like the beginning of the match when came out like a house of fire.
That's well. Also, I was gonna say, strange as it sounds, I thought the beginning of Anzai versus Smith was perfectly fine, if not good. It's just that sometimes I think June sort of doesn't know how to fill out the middle of these matches, especially if you're going 20 minutes plus. That's as big as we.
Yes. Yeah, like at 28 minutes, it was very noticeable. Yeah, because the beginning was really good. The ending was really good. And then the middle was just kind of there.
Well, here's the thing. For someone like June, it's just like, okay, well, he could still rough you up. So it's not like this match has slowed to a crawl of boringness, right? It's just a loose and everything like that. So, yeah, I mean, this certainly is what June Saito needed after title win, you know? And so after the match, Yuma Aoyagi came out to challenge. And also at the show, it was announced that Yuma Anzai and Rising Hayato will defend against astronauts.
Paul, yes. How amazing is that? Very excited for that. That's going to be awesome. I mean, again, that might be a victim of high expectations, but nah, I'm going to go in with that expecting a match of the year quality like level.
Well, it's funny. Yeah, that is... could definitely be a victim of high expectations. But let's then jump into what's upcoming in All Japan Pro Wrestling, because their next show is on Sunday, February 9th. And so we've got the Shotaro Shido and Kumarashi 10th anniversary match. I think Shido can win that, right?
Maybe.
Look, if they have, they're not going to sign him.
Yeah, that's true. Like, they're still like the freelancer versus the guy on a contract. That's true. If they had signed Arashi, I would maybe be like, oh, he's definitely losing this.
So we got Alpida versus Baka no Jidai All Asia Tag Team Championship preliminary match, which makes it sound like Takuya Nomura is now a member of Baka no Jidai.
Yeah.
but listen to this. We got Rising Hado, Yuma Anzai, Ryuki Honda, and Ren Hayabe versus Suwama, Hideki Suzuki, Fuminori Abe, and Takuya Nomura.
Yeah. I mean, on paper, that's a really strong. Yeah.
Yeah. We got the main Hontai versus Hokuto Army, Kento Miyahara, Dan Tamura, and Ryo Inoue versus Hokuto Omori, Aizawa number one, and Jack Kennedy. We got Taisha Nagao and Seki Yoshioka. Actually, I think they make a good team versus Naruki Doi, Mr. Saito, Naruki Doi, and Senor Saito. We got Musashi versus Hikaru Sato. And then probably what will be the main event, Jun Seto and Rei Seto defending the World Tag Team titles against Yuma Aoyagi and Atsuki Aoyagi. And I mean, I expect this to be an amazing.
Oh, yeah, no, especially now that we've seen it, like June and Atsuki actually can work well together. So that definitely has like increased my expectations for that match.
Yep. And then on the 11th, we've got Taishi Nagao versus Seki Yoshioka. That could be good. Rei Saito versus Jack Kennedy. People, mark your calendar. This is going to be a slobber knocker.
Yeah, it's going to be 4 minutes.
We got Shitaro Shino and Dan Tamer versus Hideki Suzuki and Yuko Miyamoto. That's funny because both of Shino and Tamra were like former challengers, which makes me wonder if one of them's going to beat Miyamoto and challenge again.
That would be, I don't know. I know that they keep doing that with the like Geora title where it's just the same people challenging over and over again. But yeah. It would be kind of lazy to go back to both of them already.
Paul, speaking of the same people challenging over and over again, we AJPW TV six-man titles. We'll have Yuma Aoyagi, Fuminori Abe, and Hikaru Sato defending against Hokuto Omori, Kuma Arashi, and Axe. So,
I mean, to be fair, it's like kind of a funny gimmick, though.
It is kind of a funny gimmick, but we got Jun Seto versus Sego Tachibana.
That actually should be fun, yeah.
And then another Alpida versus Hantai. Kento Miyahara, Musashi, Atsuki, and Ryo Inoue versus Rising Hayato, Yuma Anzai, Ryuki Honda, and Renai Abe. And Paul, when I was looking this over, it dawned on me, is Atsuki Aoyagi is not a member of Baka no Jidai.
I don't think he is, yeah. Because he was out injured when it formed.
Yeah, just sort of a funny...
I mean, if I'm Atsuki, I'm looking at that faction, and I'm like, yeah, I want nothing to do with this.
he's being more serious than his brother. So on Valentine's Day in Shinkiba First Ring on the 14th, Valentine's Day special six-man tag match, Musashi, Rising Hayato, and Asuki Aoyagi versus Ryo Inoue, Taishi Nagao, and Sego Tachibana. So I would say that could be awesome, actually, if they give it time.
Yeah.
Ryuki Honda versus Seki Yoshioka could be a lot of fun. We've got Shitaro Shino and Dan Tamura versus Hideki Suzuki and Hikaru Sato. Okay, another.
I was about to make fun of like them running a show on Valentine's Day, but they're actually put together a good show for that.
Well, Paul, listen to this match: Rei Saito versus Kuma Arashi.
Ooh, yeah, no, I can see it.
And this is a special Valentine's Day six-man tag match. This might even be the main event because it's got rather interesting themes: Kento Miyahara, Yuma Aoyagi, and Hokuto Omori versus Jun Saito, Yuma Anzai, and Renai Abe.
Yeah, that's definitely intended to like create some fan fiction.
Yeah. And then on the 24th, we got the Sforza Arena, Hachioji Arena, which is that one way out like the sticks of Tokyo, the west end of Tokyo. They always run it in February now. The last couple of years.
They drew really well there last year.
Yeah, they did. And I think they will again, actually. Kento Miyahara and Taishi Nagao versus Mr. Saito, Naruki Doi, and Senior Saito. We've got Ryuki Honda, Renai Abe, and Sego Tachibana versus Hokuto Omori, Kuma Arashi, and Jack Kennedy. We've got Shitaro Shino, Musashi, Dan Tamura, Ryo Inoue versus Hideki Hikaru Sato, Kengo Mashimo, and Seki Yoshioka. It's nice to see Mashimo is almost like a semi-regular.
Yeah, which is good to see.
Championship. Yeah. Oh, sorry. I forgot to say this. When I was talking about, it was one of them to challenge Miyamoto again. But we've got Garrett's championship. We've got Yuko Miyamoto versus Kuroshio Tokyo, Japan.
Ooh, is he going to take the belt with him to Uptown?
Well, or is he just going to do this job and then focus on
leave?
Uptown?
Yeah. Yeah. Also possible.
Also possible. So we'll see. I don't really have a feeling, but I think I'm going to have Miyamoto. I mean, Jiro's a former TV champion, so I don't know.
Summer of Jiro. It takes the belt to Uptown.
All Asia tag title match. Of course, as we mentioned, Rising Hato and Yuma Anzai versus Fuminori Abe, Takuya Nomura. Begin your unrealistic is now. I mean, they could have best tag matches of the year if they wanted to.
Oh, absolutely. The question is, will they get enough time?
This has got to be the semi-main event. Yeah, they will. They haven't announced a match order. So it's not listed as a semi-main. It's listed from the top, but who knows? Because I still think it will go on against this next match, even though this next match is really cool. Rei Saito versus Atsuki Aoyagi.
Yeah, that should be really cool, yeah.
And then, of course, what will be the main event for the Triple Crown, Jun Seto versus Yuma Aoyagi. Pretty confident that you're retaining. But, Paul, let me get into this. On that Corkin show, with the tag title match of the brothers versus the brothers, Like, do you think that the Aoyagis just lose, and even if Asuka just sort of takes the pin, as would make the most sense on the surface, does that sort of take the wind and momentum out of you?
I mean, what I was actually wondering about, if you like, if both of like are both of them going to lose, or is Atsuki beating Rey and then challenging?
Oh,
right. Because Rey and Atsuki have the singles match before the main event.
No, I don't think that's, they're not going to.
What if Atsuki is beating Rey and then he challenges Dune?
I don't think that's going to happen.
but like all the plans has to get weird.
Sure. Actually, I was going to say weird, but Yuma Aoyagi's already trying to make it weird.
That's true. But I just think it would be weird if both of them lose.
I don't think. Do you think the Aoyagis could win the tag title?
I mean, in that case, yeah. And that, if that happens, then I could definitely see both of them just lose. Yeah.
Yeah. Because they usually will take the tag titles off of someone, like the Five Crown King, before they lose. And I don't really see. I think June's holding this through the Champion Carnival.
Yeah, same. They are definitely going to run.
Brother and Sendai.
Exactly. Like, he has to hold it until the next big Sendai show.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I just think if you have the Aoyagis lose like that, then what's the buildup for the Triple Crown now?
Yeah, that's true. So they kind of, you've talked me into it. Yeah, they're going to win.
Well, I don't know, but it's like, when was the last time they put the world tag on? And you've already got a heavyweight and a junior team as the All Asia tag titles. I don't know. I think they just might do the worst thing and just have the Aoyagis lose.
Just lose completely. I don't know. Because when was the last time they put like the All Asia titles on the guy at the level of like a Yuma Anzai?
Well, I guess when they had him on Jake Lee, that doesn't really count, does it?
Yeah. No, because that was before Jake got pushed.
Yeah. But he was still like an upper mid Carter. Usually have a higher rank than usually was holding the All Asia.
No, it is. But like that, this is like literally like the guy that is just like set up as the next ace of the promotion that is held like the Triple Crown already and is going to be like the keystone of the entire promotion for the next like decade at least. Yeah. So that's I don't think ever a guy of that level has held that belt. So I would say that's even weirder than them putting like the heavyweight tag titles on a junior. Because it doesn't have to be a long reign, right? Like it's just they win that match and then they just basically are transitionary champions to like whoever they are, like maybe like an Elpida team or something.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, actually get those tag titles on.
Yeah.
That would be the best, perhaps, something like that. All right. So that is All Japan Pro Wrestling. Paul, any final thoughts before we get out of here?
Nothing really right now. Maybe one thing is, I think this is like the first time since we started the podcast when Noah feels like it's the harder promotion of the two. Like, I don't think All Japan feels cold. Like, it's not as hot as it was like this time last year, but it's just nowhere. I think like Team 2000X is like the hottest act in Japan right now.
Yeah, for sure. Without a doubt. And it still feels hot. So we'll see. It's going to be very interesting where things go. I think a lot of this has really come down to just how great Ozawa is.
Yes. It's actually single-handedly. Yeah.
You know, carrying this in many ways, despite the right, because he wasn't really involved in the whole tag title debacle, nope. Everything like that, right? But he's carrying it otherwise himself very well. You know, I was joking, if you know, we're going to do another VOW 30 under 30, like I think in this like June or July or whatever it is, and like I'm going to vote for Ozawa number one, no question.
Oh, yeah, right now, absolutely. Like, I don't, right? Well, I mean, it depends, like, I've right as it is right now, I absolutely would. Yes. I think depending what happens in the carnival, like, you know, if Yuma Anzai has like a great carnival and does like amazing stuff over the next 6 months, then I might vote him number one. But otherwise, yeah, this is absolutely going to like Ozawa.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. But like we said, very good moment. We're both, there's a lot of momentum for both companies, everything like that. So we will be back in a couple of weeks after we got the Korakuen shows with the tag title match and the big Galeno Del Mal versus Ozawa match. So take care and enjoy all the wrestling out there. Bye.
Hey, kids, do you like wrestling? Well, we like wrestling, too. We are Shake Them Ropes here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Myself and Chris Novembrino kind of doing a lazy river of wrestling criticism, going through the news and whatever happened in stateside television wrestling. And also, you know what? Sometimes We just like to watch old stuff and talk about that too. Love for you to give us a listen if you haven't already. We are Shake Them Ropes here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network.